for each thing, or just one?
Well, no, it didn't. It could be a game prediction. It could be another fuck Hollywood level type thing happening as well. Like,
okay, yeah, but that's not even random now. Joseph Farah saying some weird shit is just
has to be somebody who is not Joseph Farah, or if it is, it has to be very, very specific in the details.
Yeah.
He has to count the syllables of the weird shit that he's going to say for him to count.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 186 of the Player 2 Pixel Cast. My name is Matt Houston, and I am hosting the show today as we dive into the incoming season of silly, stupid announcements that are about to bombard us from every different angle. Joining me on this journey of insanity is Stephen Del Prado.
Ahoy, hoy.
How you going, Stephen?
I'm pretty good, actually.
Pretty
well,
good,
no,
actually.
I'm kind of sick, but I'm trying to keep it together, so.
Keep it together. Right, excellent. And also joining us is the man that's always here. We can't get rid of him. Tim Henderson, how are you?
What do you mean? You, like, packaged me up and sent me off to Dublin for a week.
Well, I think you packaged yourself up to set to Dublin.
Well, you know.
I didn't realize that was on the
there.
Company credit card.
I was not here. I was somewhere else.
So tonight we are going to look at the upcoming conferences and announcements and Jeff Keighley annoying everyone and all those sort of things. But before we do that, we've been playing games because, you know, it's a video game podcast. So it's what we do. We try to. But first up, we've got Stephen. He's been playing, well, I don't think I remember him ever being so glowing in a review as he has been with this one. What do you got, Stephen?
So, yeah, my 10 out of 10 for Mina the Hollower. Look, Yacht Club Games. This is kind of a whole bundle deal, right? Shovel Knight was very highly acclaimed. People loved Shovel Knight, but that shit is well over a decade ago, and they kind of just kept plopping out Shovel Knight derivative stuff in the meantime. So Mina was apparently pretty make or break for the studio. Unfortunately for them, it seems like it's very much hit the make and not break. So it's an ode to the Game Boy Color era. Think Link's Awakening DX with a splash of Bloodborne thrown in there as well for good measure. Very limited sprite palette, very retro controls. But it does that same trick that Shovel Knight did where it gets rid of all of the really shitty things we tend to forget about those earlier generations. And it replaces it with some more modern ideas about game design and just general user-friendliness altogether. You've got this cool little burrowing mechanic where you can go under enemies and pop out the other side. You've got a range of weapons. You have the Bloodborne mechanic where if you lose health, you then have to hit an enemy to be able to recharge that health you've lost. Otherwise, it's just gone. So it encourages that aggressive play. It's got trinkets, which upgrade some of your abilities. You're leveling up with bones, not souls, which is, you know, a huge difference there. But I think the one of the biggest things, and I've sort of seen a lot of talk about this, is just the sheer amount of accessibility options they baked into the game. We're talking nearly 300 modifiers.
Holy
that
shit.
You can almost adjust anything about the experience that you want. So in the review, I sort of mentioned that the weapon I'd chosen kind of pushes you back a little bit every time you hit an enemy with it. And some of the tight platforming in Mina meant that in the course of defending myself, I kept falling down holes. Now, that's all well and good, but that was also tanking my health. And it has that curve where the start of the game is probably the most brutal it's ever going to be for you. So I was having a shit of a time. I couldn't manage to not die quickly enough to level up. I kept falling down holes. Mina was squishy as hell. So I went into that modifications menu. I popped the damage down by 25% and I just flat out turned full damage off. And I was off at the races. It was go time from there. It just got the game to a point where I was so happy with how it felt and how it played with my setup. I didn't have to go and grind. I didn't have to change weapons. I didn't have to go and do all that time-wasty bullshit so many of these other games make you do to enjoy them. It was literally 3 seconds in the menu, waving bye-bye to my toxic masculinity and just getting it done and dusted. And I think it's something that everyone should look into because it is kind of where I think a lot of games need to go, is allowing people to tailor the experience to what they want, as opposed to there being this, you know, really rigid idea of what a game should be. And yes, it's in service of accessibility. Almost anyone could play this game. I'm not going to go and say that literally everyone should be able to play this game, because that doesn't take into the wide scope of people's range of abilities and yada, yada, yada. But it does mean that if, unlike a lot of the Soulsborne games, where there are just specific things you cannot change, there are so many options in this that you can really narrow down. What exactly am I not enjoying about this? Let's piss it off.
Yep.
I have heard like you can like do things like adjust the speed by anywhere from like 5% to like halfway. Like,
yeah, you can half you speed, can completely like... slow it down. So if you had, you know, motor issues or something like that, where you had very delayed reflexes, you can get that down to a minute percentage. So I need everything to be run at 5%, and you set it to run at 5%. If you don't want to take any damage at all, if you whatever little tweaks you'd like to make, and you can turn them on and off at will. Yeah, there'll be some weird things on platforms for, you know, your electronic dick measuring contests around trophies and things like that. But as I played on Steam, and I couldn't give a shit about Steam achievements, it didn't bother me at all. And if you're playing on
trophies either for it,
no. And if you're playing on the Switch, it doesn't exist anyway. So
yeah,
it's just one of those things where really you'll have to face the greatest enemy of all, which is yourself. Like, make the decision of what sort of experience you want and tweak it to that. If you are,
has maybe like wonder if like a developer could like just very subtly do it. Like, okay, you're falling down a hole. Your character is gradually developing just a really thick head. So your damage that you take from falling just gradually decreases, so you don't have to suck it up.
That's almost kind of like what Fallout does. If you keep getting irradiated, you get like certain bonuses. All right,
you can just deal with it now.
Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah. There is a bit of that, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's like an interesting way to do it. It's sort of like if you do something more, you'll get better at it, or you'll get more resistant to it. But I guess Mina being sort of that simpler kind of game, they've just gone with, just go on the menu and, you know, make it what you want
play
it to
around.
Be.
But, it is interesting to me that they went for the Game Boy Color. Like, that's a very specific nostalgia that they went in for, because that's not your usual...
No.
Like, 66 colors. The whole game is made up of 66 colors, apparently. That was their entire color palette, and they have done a great job designing these very kind of engaging environments. It's very gothic coded, so it does have a bit of Bloodborne feel to it in the visuals as well as in some of the gameplay elements, but it's still that very much sort of Game Boy Color Metroidvania style of play. It's got platforming, it's got combat, it's can be maddening as hell, it's got puzzles, it's that sort of thing where you know what you need to do but you just can't bloody execute it, so you just keep, you know, hammering away at it. Even with some of the modifiers on, it still doesn't necessarily make it very easy. Like, there's still a challenge to it, especially towards the end of the game when you roll in credits and those last few bosses. And it is that thing where I rolled credits and it was like, congratulations, you've done maybe half the game.
Yep.
There's still a bunch of stuff for you to go and find and do. And
some Hollow Knight shit.
Yeah. And I cannot imagine that this is the last that we'll see of it. It feels very much like there'll be DLC, lots of support. Yacht Club have done a great job supporting their previous titles. So I think if you jump onto Mina, which is $28.50 Australian, I think.
That's hyper specific. I was assuming it was just $30.
No, because I actually bought it again to put on the Switch for my boys to play, because they're not touching the Ally. And look, it's a really reasonable price. They've done the same sort of thing that Team Cherry did with Hollow Knight and Silksong, where if you set a game at a fairly reasonable price, then people will probably buy it. Yeah. And I did. I just went and bought it again. I'm like, yep, I really enjoyed this. I will give you some money.
It does also help if it's just massive critical acclaim and everybody seems to love it, of course.
Yeah.
Well, it does mostly.
Mostly. A few games, unless you mixtape, that's a whole weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Wow, the critics and have nothing to eat.
Yep. All right, then. Well, Tim.
Yeah.
Speaking of hard games, this one's a little bit different, but certainly difficult from what I can gather.
Not as difficult as where it came from.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, I believe the tagline of said game, Saros, is come back stronger. So, yeah, this is the new one from Housemarque. I think it's Housemarque.
Yep.
It's Returnal in all but name. Like, this is Returnal 2, but let's just make another one of those and call it something else. And the
Can I just point out, I think it's interesting that we've all kind of gone with titles that are developers who just keep getting better at doing the same shit over and over again.
Might step you up a little bit there, because this game is better than Returnal, but also in some ways Returnal is better than this.
Ooh, the caveat.
Yeah, so they made some good choices, and then they made... Well, I mean, we had a little while ago a discussion about, like, sometimes you just fall into a trap of, like, trying to up the scale or make things bigger, expand, and maybe that's not the best decision for you. And Saros doesn't fall 100% into that trap, but it definitely trips over some trimmings of it.
Yeah.
So for anybody who hasn't played Returnal, and there shouldn't be anybody because Returnal's great, do not sleep on Returnal. I feel like I say that every half year or so on the show.
Yes, and the PC version is friggin' excellent.
Apparently the PC version is really good, but also, you know...
Really good, yeah.
PS5 if you just have the console.
Yeah.
It's a third-person action game married with some very twitchy, arcadey, bullet-dodging action shooting, and it worked really well. And so Returnal was, you're this kind of like middle-aged woman who's just crashed on this mysterious planet, and she's there by herself, and you're like going through room of this like forest and then other areas. And it's a fascinating mixture of like just really mysterious what the fuck is going on and like super hyperkinetic action. As if like Metroid Prime were just like just schizophrenic almost.
Yep.
And she'll do things like find recordings that she recorded herself but she has no memory of, and like finds. It's a very, very lonely adventure. So cut to Saros, which goes for a very similar thing. And yeah, both, and yeah, roguelike as well. So you die, you come back, you die, you come back, you die, you come back, and it actually gets woven into the story. So cut to Saros. And it makes a statement about, like, you will die. Like, this is a time... Because you do not get the title splash screen until you die the first time. Like, it drops you into the game, and you go as far as you can, and eventually you will die, and that's when the big splash screen happens. Like, the game kind of, like, starts itself in earnest. They put other characters in this, and it was a dumb move. Yeah. It's like the short of it. There's, like, a base camp, and they're going for this pretty worn sci-fi trope of, like, space madness. Like, everybody's slowly losing their minds. I think the voice actors actually do a fine job for the most part, but like none of the dialogue is particularly interesting. The character animation is clearly not up to the snuff of like the cinematic presentation, and it just detracts from the what the fuckness of it all.
Yeah.
This sort of thing, just the nature of what this mysterious, and there would have been ways to do it. You could have still found recordings of people who just aren't there anymore, and you probably could have fucked with your own character as well, like having you trying, like, hallucinating radio contact or something, and then just gradually over time, like, seeing shit fall apart. And shit does fall apart. Like, you hit story beats and, like, it's just so obvious. It's not a spoiler to say that everybody just gradually starts losing their mind and, like, the home base goes to shit.
I mean, I thought that was pretty obvious given how much it's tying into, like, the Lovecraftian King in Yellow stuff. They made that pretty obvious in the lead up to it, like Carcosa and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, it is what it is. And it's fine at that, but I feel like it could be more interesting ways to do it. A big difference from Returnal is like they have set room shapes for like their randomly generated stages. Here, it's actually a lot more coherent, which I actually do appreciate. But there's always like one up and one down with this game. It's like where I'm gonna be at. So Returnal is also a lot more like it's almost like rooms. Like, I mean, yep. You're in, like, open areas, but, like, it really felt like rooms. These contained spaces, and that worked really well. Whereas while Saros is by no means an open world game, it does expand out more. Like, you can kind of see off into the distance, which, one, I think feels like gives you more chance to just fall to your death meaninglessly, at least early on. And two, the way I'm thinking about it is, like, remember, like when you're, like, a really young kid and you got to ride the train for the first few times, and, like, you go through a tunnel or something, like, oh, wow, we're going so fast! And then you, like, come out and, like, you know, the houses off in the distance in the countryside. You're going, we're not moving. What happened? It kind of has that effect on the sense of pace in the combat. Like, when the walls, like, you move the walls away and suddenly, even though I'm sure it is as fast, it doesn't quite feel it.
Yeah.
And also, like, maybe just a little more terrain to, like, cross to, like, get to the new aspect. It's a shame because the combat is very good. Still, they've introduced what I will still call the Ikaruga mechanic of, like, sometimes enemies shoot blue things, sometimes they shoot yellow things. The yellow things will, like, corrupt your armor and, like, be intrusive. But if you put a shield up for the blue one, you can kind of absorb it.
Yep.
And you will get better at timing with this, and it's important because that will also charge up a special weapon, which, one, does more damage, and two, will also remove some of the corruption as you're going. And then it seems like 5, 6, or a few more worlds in the world, but the big thing is here, like the tagline I mentioned, come back stronger. So when you die, there is a tree that you can kind of come back to spend whatever's called lucidite that you pick up along the way to, like, give yourself, like, longer lasting buffs. Like, you just increase this ability a little bit, increase that a little bit. Increase your weapon skill so you can eventually start with strong weapons. And also, you can, assuming you've cleared one stage, you can jump straight back into the next one.
Okay.
If you so desire, which I did a couple of times, but either because I'm a traditionalist or because it does kind of make it easier, I've tended to start from the beginning each time, although it's, now my runs are like 2.5 hours on one instance, so maybe that's a bit...
Is there a save function this time?
I mean, there wasn't a return. Returnal actually got one. By the time I played Returnal, but,
yeah, you could originally it didn't, and, like, and there was a massive blow-up about it. Which I
only learned about that recently because, I played Returnal like a year after it came out, and that was already there. And I was like, what do you mean it didn't have that? That is stupid.
It is. It was fucking stupid, especially if you're getting 2-hour runs, you know.
So, no, I definitely had one point, I think, where, like, I think my PlayStation updated, and I was like, oh, shit. And I had to, like, open the game again, but it seemed to take me back to...
Yeah, nice.
So I do remember exactly where it was, but I definitely wasn't back at the starting point, so it seems to have kept that shit going. So I get, that's my train of thought now. But yeah, a big part of, like, the gamble, I guess, in this is, like, there is an eclipse that happens in each of these stages, which you kind of have to trigger to get to the end. And it starts off pretty, like, 50-50, like, the first half. It almost feels like a split down the middle. First half is like a regular stage, and then you reach your hand out to these creepy things coming out of the ground, and the eclipse happens, and the graphics become darker. Dark, moodier. It doesn't actually necessarily become harder to see.
Yeah.
And then, like, it ratchets up, and you'll remember, and this is how they like, some of the compromises on, like, power-ups. You remember in Returnal, you'd sometimes, like, have these ones that would be, like, little alien bugs things, and you...
Yeah.
Okay, you can shoot faster now, but also, like, you might take fall damage. Like, that sort of compromise comes into everything you find once the eclipse happens.
Okay, yeah.
And I mostly just say no thank you all the time. Like, I never find, like, a tiny bit of health worth suddenly taking fall damage. With one exception, there's one where you're like, okay, you get +4, +6 of your strength or your shield or whatever, and the consequence is you deal reduced damage when standing still. And I'll take that every time because
you're never
this is not
still.
A cover shooter.
Who's standing still?
You are
strafe,
moving.
Strafe.
Yeah, it's actually weird because some of the weapons have auto-target and some don't. And it is such a big fucking deal to get auto-targeting in that shit because, like, you want to focus on your movement more than you do and keeping the reticle exactly where you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, the weapon lineup so far has actually been pretty good. With a weird catch where, like, the bosses consistently, I want to say you want a good machine gun type weapon for those. I love the crossbow thingamy that you eventually get, and that's great for, like, rooms packed full of certain enemies, but when it comes, if you know when a boss is coming, and you will eventually learn it, because the stages are more designed, it's not as random generated this time, you really want to try and make sure that you have a machine gun, preferably with, like, auto-detect going on. So, yeah, it's actually still... very good, and there are things I like about it a lot more than Returnal. There are things... Also, there's a weird tree in the home base, whatever, where you go into and you, like, go back to this old city thing, and, like, which is kind of like going to the house. If anyone's played Returnal, I spoke about it last episode, I think. It's just a fucking house in the middle of this, like, alien planet forest thing. So it's got sequences equivalent to that, which I appreciate, because those were, like, kind of cool. My main caveat here is, like, so the big thing that, like, separates Saras is, like, it does actually become more approachable, because Returnal just got too hard even for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, like, not get
second,
to the end of that game.
Second run through, Returnal was weird, because I could not beat the first boss, and then the first time I did beat the first boss, I completed the entire run. Like, I went through all four zones. But then you come back again, because story reasons, and Then it gets way harder the second time, even though what's happening seems to be pretty interesting. Returnal would benefit hugely if they could just transplant this whole get stronger thing. And yeah. Just like plonk it on there. I'm like, fuck, dude, I don't actually pay like $10 on Returnal DLC to just have that mechanic like put in there, like make it finishable. And I think Housemarque was probably like, we wanted some people to see the end credits. Maybe we should do this.
Yeah.
And so if you want that, you should absolutely look at considering getting Seraphs. It is still a very good game. The big caveat being, though, that you can probably find Returnal for like $20 or $30.
I don't know. I feel like
I think in some ways Returnal is still like Seraphs is better, but Returnal is also better. So if you are willing to take the beating, then it may be worth saving pocketing like the extra $60 or something and getting Returnal instead.
Returnal held its value. It was expensive for ages.
That's because it was one of the first games out on the PlayStation. There was a long time.
You're going to find. Actually, I don't know pricing in Australia, but if I was to go searching in Japan, I'm pretty sure I could find you a $20-$30 copy free.
Yeah. It's still $100 on PC at the moment, but at the same time, I've also seen it for $20 on Steam sales and shit like that. So you know,
So, just wait half a month and it'll be there. But also, Sony's just throwing their hands up in the air now with regard to the PC port, so they may just let all that rot now. So,
yeah. Idiots. Anyway.
Apparently, some of them did sell abysmally poorly, though.
Yeah, and some of them were designed abysmally poorly, too.
I don't know if it always lined over. The problem is, though, if you're burned by the bad one, then you reject the good one because you don't want it to happen again twice.
Exactly. Anyway. I have been
dun, dun, do, dun, dun,
dancing do. With James. Yes, I have been playing 007 First Light, and holy shit, it sure is Hitman and Bond together. And
it does look like Hitman Uncharted in his tuxedo.
Yeah, look, it is great. I'm having an absolute blast with this game. It's saying Hitman Bond is probably selling it short. It really understands what James Bond is, and yes, you can absolutely feel that it's the developers that made Hitman, but they've only included Hitman stuff that work within the concept of James Bond. There's no sneaking around and setting up traps with cameras to electrocute a whole family when you take a photo of them or something like that. So it's very much a more linear experience, but it has these big open areas.
Are you telling me you can't kill anybody while they're in the bathtub by dropping a toaster in there?
No, you cannot. No, there is none of that. But there is a lot of kind of open areas where you can approach things how you would like. You use the Hitman mechanic of listening to people, and it'll give you kind of clues of how you can tackle this particular area. For example, one I just did, I had to steal a security pass, like a press pass and a camera, so I could get upstairs to a certain press area. And so there's a couple of different ways you can do that, and you can listen to people and they might give you a hint as, oh yeah, I saw an old mate, he's feeling sick, he's a photographer. So you go to the toilet and he's put his camera on the floor because he's having a bit of an up and under. And so you steal his camera and then you've got the camera part of that. Or you can just literally blind the security guard with, you know, a little, you've got a little poison dart thing that just makes him a bit sick for a second.
Like walk up and pepper spray him in the face.
and then just duck in and steal one that way. Or, you know, there's three or four ways to tackle each sort of these kind of areas. And within that, so that was one way to get upstairs. There was another two or three ways I could have got upstairs to where I needed to be.
This actually sounds kind of Deus Ex-y.
That was the other game that kind of, it brings me up because you've got these kind of hacking gadgets as well. So you can set up traps with little, you know, say there's a laptop laying around, you can use that as a distraction by hacking it remotely and the guards will come and look at it. Or you can even set it up to kind of shock them and stun them for a second so you can jump in for a quick takedown. So there's all these kind of cool little gadget Bondy things that you can do in these big open areas that they feel like the Hitman-y parts. Then it'll go into like a kind of more linear section where there's some action, you know, it might be combat section or like a hand-to-hand combat, or it might be a gunplay section. Very cool element of it is that you only have a license to kill if the opposition want to kill you. So
you cannot be Han Solo.
You cannot just go in and shoot everybody. They've got to show lethal aggression before you can kill them back. So there's a lot of like setting up traps. There's one boss fight, right? This was super clever. So there's one boss fight where you don't have a gun. He does. It's in a dark warehouse. And all you've got is your little hacking device. And there's all these things in the warehouse. And you've got to try and sneak around the warehouse and lead him into these situations where you can use your laser, your little watch laser to drop a chandelier on his head or, you know, set off
some
this
very 70s Bond vibes.
It does. And it was such a cool thing to do. Like, it was very different. Like I said, they really understand James Bond. So, the only thing I've probably not been super hot on is the gunplay, and it's fine. It's just not amazing, right? It's fine.
Do want to know though, is it actually as satisfying to throw an empty gun at somebody's head as like every review seems to have
Very cool. Yeah. And then cause you can throw it at their head and they kind of wobble then, and you can duck in for the quick 1-2 punch, and then they'll, like, as they fall down, the gun will fly in the air and then you catch it and you can go back into the shooting, you know. So that's very cool. You could do things like shoot people's guns out of their hands and take it from them, or, you know, flip it out and do these cool little things. It just the actual gunplay itself feels just fine. It doesn't feel amazing. It could feel a little smoother, I think, but otherwise.
You're Uncharted again.
Yeah, no, it's better than Uncharted. It's way better than Uncharted.
I kind of hope so. It's like a decade newer.
Yeah. Everything else is so fun. Every actor they've got to play important roles in it nails it. Q is kind of, a bit more of this kind of upper crust, eccentric British fellow, as opposed to the younger one they went with in the more recent Bonds. Moneypenny is, you know, works very well with James in the bouncing on the in their dialogue, like you would expect. But they've got a really good relationship. And James's mentor is played by a fella that I've seen in lots of British shows. He's in Snatch and things like that, and he's very good as well. All up, like, I'm about halfway through. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I think they've really captured James Bond, and like I said, the Hitman leanings are absolutely there, but only when they work within the context of 007. So they haven't just reskinned Hitman. They've really put a lot of thought into it. I'm really enjoying the story. Yeah.
And it feels like this seems like a developer we want with a Bond license.
Yeah. And they've nailed it. It looks great. The acting's good. Yeah. There's not much to dislike about it, really. It's a really well built, and I feel like with the Hitman basis, there's a lot of potential there for extra missions to come at a later date. And they have talked about that. And you can go back and replay missions with different modifiers and stuff like that if you so want to. So they can change things up, change different locations, all those sort of things. So there is a fair bit of replayability for what is essentially a single player game. I'm really enjoying it. So I'll write a review up of it eventually of some kind, but just if you're thinking about it and you've got the money there and you want it, you won't miss out. You really won't.
Biggest flaw is clearly good job getting us a review code in time, huh?
We did not get it in time. We got it on launch day, and only then because I called in some favors. So, but yeah, 007, really good. Enjoy it.
Do you think that, with Indiana Jones being so great and now 007 being so great, do you think we're going to be a little bit more critical of things coming out? Like, we've got Wolverine, obviously, coming up, and it's like, is this
Indiana
really
Jones
like...
is probably a really good analogy for this, for the 007 game. There is a lot of similarities there in this kind of a pretension, like mostly stealth. For a lot of the game, you know, there's these kind of puzzles and things like that. There is a lot of crossover between the two games. I think there's kind of a step up that people expect, especially from these quality developers like IOI and Machine Games.
Machine Games.
You know, you expect a lot out of those guys. So if they're going to take on a beloved franchise, then you expect a lot out of that. So I think if big developers are going to take on well-known IP, there is an expectation now. It's not cheap cash in shit anymore. This is, we want something new, and we want something appropriate to the IP. And when they nail it, I think it's amazing.
And Insomniac have not made a bad game since Fuse.
No, they haven't. And I think that felt like a rushed contract job for EA. But anyway. All right. We might have a break, go and get a beverage, and get ready for Hype. Hype Central, as we talk all things Summer Game Fest.
Yeah, it's coming. The New York Knicks are in the NBA Finals. Raygun Brown, please come out of the shows, man.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that hype music that Tim just gave us to get you all prepared for the season of crazy game announcements, trailers, whatever bloody else they come up with for us consumers to waste all our money on. And it's pretty normal for us here at Player 2 to have a bunch of wild guesses as what we expect is going to turn up at these events. So I think we'll have to start with Sony, because actually, as always, the Sony event's really shit for our timing, and it's actually going to be already done by the time this podcast is released.
24 hours from now.
Yes, it comes out. It's the Wednesday. We publish this on the Thursday, so you know, typical Sony screwing us over. So, with that in mind, when you listen to this, you'll realize how incredibly wrong we are, which is always fun. Stephen, what's Sony going to bring to the party?
Oh, look, at this stage, obviously Wolverine. They're going to have to do something with Wolverine.
It's going to be like 50% Wolverine, I think, depressing.
Yeah. I don't know how much Sony is kind of flailing at this stage with IP and what they have that's really going to draw anyone in. We know, you know, the elephant in everyone's room is GTA 6 at this point. So it's, if they're going to get their 30% cut of that thing, then I'm sure they don't want to compete against that anyway. So it's kind of weird that all of these console manufacturers and a lot of, you know, especially with their own stores, have like this vested interest in not competing against it anyway. It's like, no, buy your shark cards. We want our 30%. But so Wolverine is a lock. But outside of that, I know things I would like to see them do, but I'm very skeptical that they'll ever get around to it. I think they need to lean on Naughty Dog a bit more.
Mm.
Yeah, and on that note, I don't think we're going to see much more of Naughty Dog's thing just yet. I think that's too big.
Yeah,
but I do think we may get some announcements for next year, just because they want to be able to hype something, but they also do not want to get in the way.
Yeah, I mean, more Astrobot feels like something they should be doing, like, absolutely.
Maybe something from Media Molecule. We haven't had anything from them for a while.
Yeah,
they haven't been closed yet, as far as I'm aware.
Apparently been like searching for people with open world experience, which I have mixed feelings about. But you know what? If Media Molecule wants to take on and defeat Roblox, then all the more power to them.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the defeat.
Yeah.
God, if there was an equivalent of Roblox that was that popular and it was like Media Molecule levels of charm and creativity.
Yeah.
The world would be a better place.
So I mean, it can't happen without exploiting the children's, Tim, and that's why it'll never happen, because you don't get Roblox with ethical design, that's for damn sure.
I think there's a good chance for some Final Fantasy shenanigans as the next year announcement for
part 3. We might get a name announcement, I think, for the part 3.
You might get a little CGI trailer name announcement, something like that.
Yeah, you'd think Squeenix have just been pumping the Dragon Quest 40-year anniversary, so...
Yep.
Oh, that's gonna get some big footage somewhere.
I think they've got a couple of things there.
So your voice has just dropped down really low.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
He's become a man. It's happened live on stream.
Different kind of low, but yes.
Yeah, but I think we Sony will be a spot where we might see some more from Control Resonant. We might, you know, see some more of that Dawnwalker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. RPG. That does look pretty cool.
You know, so I think Sony's event will be a lot of third-party stuff that they've got, you know, advertising deals with. But otherwise, I can't see them. And, like, they've screwed the pooch so hard on going all in on these live services, and now they've realized that the live services aren't paying out and they've got to pivot. And a pivot, you know, at this point, it's moving a 30-ton bus in a, you know, three-point turn sort of thing, trying to get around quickly. So, yeah.
They haven't had anything light the world on fire with those, mm-mm, sadly.
Yeah, remember when we were all complaining that we're making too many sad dad third-person action adventures? I miss those days.
Yeah, I want some more third-person action adventures. Or we might see a bit of God of War. That is...
Remake it.
He is a sad dad.
So he is a sad dad.
He's an angry dad in this one.
Yeah, yeah. But also there's a lot of rumors kicking around that Santa Monica are working on a Fae spin-off of Ragnarok.
Yeah, those seem pretty credible as well.
Yeah. So that might show up.
Whether that's what I still like the idea the of audience Astro Bot wants.
Yeah. I think Astro Bot.
It may just be that I want more Astro Bot, but if you want a game that's not going to get trodden on that hard by GTA.
It's probably one.
That's probably one, because you buy that as well. Because you want to play it, you can play it with your kids. Like, you're not playing GTA with your kids unless you're pretty irresponsible.
Or you've got old kids like me.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're fine. Your kids are 17, 18, whatever years old, and that's fine. Buy your own bloody shark cards.
Yeah, that's absolutely going to happen. If they want shark cards, they can buy their own shit.
Yeah, Sony just, I don't know where Sony is at the moment. It just seems like they're in a weird spot, like kind of a bit of an identity crisis. They've told PC to piss off. They now realized live service games are kind of a dead end, especially if you're trying to sell expensive hardware to people, because people play these games because they run on a potato. It's not because it runs on a $800 box.
Yep.
And their dev cycles are taking so freaking long that how can they get anything out?
Yeah, it is a little concerning, I think. They do have the extremely helpful advantage of selling a bazillion consoles compared to anyone else. So, I mean, they're not
Microsoft
going anywhere.
Shot themselves in the foot with their Xbox One, and taking a long time to call back really helped a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Xbox, there is possibly quite a lot coming from Xbox because they have quite a lot cooking. What do you reckon, Stephen?
Look, I mean, we've just had the big hitter in Forza.
Mm-hmm.
I always am up for more Halo stuff, even though they've broken my heart a couple of times in the past where it's just not quite where it needs to be. And we know it's sort of a lumbering zombie at this point. And Gears is kind of in the same. I just want the Xbox of yore. Look, I think we are hitting that nostalgia peak of the 360 era.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they could get a BioShock anything, something along those lines, which even, like, fuck, Ken Levine's doing his own shit in the corner. Who cares about him? If someone
he's
can
doing
do something
BioShock,
along those
though,
lines.
They just put that on there.
He is? Like, he's doing something with that? I know he had something cooking, but I thought it was his own kind of, like,
called
studio.
BioShock, but it is BioShock. In the same way
it
that Saros is Returnal
it resembles
to, it
but
is BioShock.
Legally distinct from.
Yeah, yeah.
It's I don't own the rights to this, but you can't sue me over this. Yeah. Spiritual successor too. Okay, so I'm down for that.
It is as different from BioShock as the opening riffs to Ice Ice Baby are from Under Pressure by Queen. Like,
so legally different.
No, it's a little ting in there sometimes.
Vanilla Ice had to pay for that.
Yeah. Well, like something along those lines. I don't know. Xbox for me have been kind of in such a weird spot for such a long time now. Like, console sales are not doing what they'd like to do. Their whole everything is an Xbox thing is probably not panning out the way they'd hoped.
I mean, everybody could have told them that, though. Like, it has. Yeah. give them the easiest home run ever with changing out the leadership, though, is all you have to do is, like,
and they've
reel
done that.
That shit back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, Game Pass is really cool, but it also, it does that thing that piracy did for me in the PlayStation 1 generation where I don't finish everything. Anything. It devalues everything. It's try before you buy, and a lot of the times I go, eh.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have that buy-in.
I think Xbox, they, because of the sheer amount of studios now that are under their banner, they've always got the potential for a lot of stuff. We obviously know about Fable coming, so there's some of that nostalgia. Obviously, it's been put back because of Grand Theft Auto. Fair enough. They got the Halo remake coming. That'll be there. They've got Gears of War Ede, which will be good. I mean, I loved Gears 5. I thought it was fucking great. So I'm keen for more Gears. And they,
are you going to do something dumb and, like, shadow drop Halo?
No, I have a suspicion because there's been a lot of rumors talking about them revisiting the backwards compatibility program and making some changes there. So I suspect any shadow drop will be related to that.
That would be a massive way to beef up Game Pass as well, like similar to what Nintendo has with their online service. Like, there are so many original Xbox games I'm still really annoyed I can't play, like Jet Set Radio Future. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of those come down to, like, licensing deals and stuff. So if they can get all those ducks in the line, then that'd be very cool. But I think we're probably going to see that there's been long rumored that there's a massive Doom Dark Ages expansion coming. So that'll probably show up. Whatever, you know, we won't see Elder Scrolls. There's no fucking way we're going to see Elder Scrolls.
No.
If it is, it'll be Elder Scrolls Online. It won't be.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing, right? It's like, we got, what, 2 Fallout games? Granted, they were from different studios, but we got 2 Fallout games in the 360 era
and
some great DLC and Skyrim. And now it's sort of like.
And Oblivion.
It feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like all of these big studios are like single gen, like a game one a generation game. Now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? We might see Blade too. That's the other thing that Arkane are working on. So, yeah.
Interesting.
What about you, Tim? Do you expect to see anything from them?
I mean, I am wondering, are they going to, like, try and jump a little bit too early and get some next-gen shit in there? Like, they're just going to show us, like, an empty box and be like, this is what it's going to look like and just leave it there.
No, they've already said they're not doing any hardware. Yeah,
yeah. I think with hardware,
enough attention.
Hardware prices,
not even the Elite 3, like the.
Oh, so they haven't said next gen hardware, so they might consider Elite 3. If something's going to be there, it'll be a control or something like that. So yeah,
apparently there's a whole bunch of bugs in the Elite 2 that nobody likes. It's coming from the person who spent way too much time in the last 2 weeks researching PC gamepads.
I've had the Elite 2, and I don't mind it. I've never had massive issues with it, but it's been surpassed. So, yeah.
Well, but also one thing I've noticed is, like, quality control seems to be a thing where you'll find something that everybody thinks is great and then you'll find, okay. That is, like, the big issue. Finding something you know if you buy it, it's 99% going to work fine.
Yeah.
I can't see anyone wanting to touch hardware for a few more years at this point. They keep jacking the hardware prices up. Like,
yeah. Not until AI absolutely tanks in some way.
Well,
or it goes in a different direction where it doesn't require consumer hardware.
So Arkane, I would love more Arkane and everything they do. Like, even if it's not great, it's at least interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, they're doing Blade, so that could be very cool.
Want Brutal Legend 2, even, like, just kind of wish casts.
Yeah, just throw that out there.
Psychonauts 3.
No, he's Prey already said 2. He won't do that.
Yeah, oh well.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I'd really like Psychonauts, more Psychonauts. I love Psychonauts.
Psychonauts 2 was very good, but Noah's also was very good and could perhaps use a little bit more refining. Brutal Legend.
Yeah. Maybe they might do a remaster.
That would be an interesting one because I think they're going to have to work. Like, I
work on the,
liked everything about that game, but the way people reacted to the RTS stuff would be they would actually have to do some tweaking.
I think they would do some tweaking to that, but yeah.
Are Ubisoft fronting at this thing at all?
Oh, they'll be there. I know they've got stuff coming.
That was a very pregnant pause.
Yeah. So, yes, they'll be there in some way, shape, or form, whether they're at Xbox or PlayStation, I don't know. They'll obviously want to be flogging off Assassin's Creed Black Flag as well and, you know, things like that. But they do have things coming. That's all I can say about that.
Beyond Good and Evil 2 still technically hasn't been cancelled.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't, and that's not what I'm thinking of, but yep. That'd be cool. I live in a world where I hope that game comes out and it's awesome. Because
in a world where, like, we just found out, like, as we recorded, like, a couple of days ago, that something I was kind of hoping would happen actually did happen, and, like whoever was developing Dragon Quest, the new one, was like, wait a second, why are we making this so dark and serious? That's fucking wrong for this franchise. And they scrapped the entire thing and it's, like, coming back and looking like it probably should. Yeah.
Trying to, like, not do Toriyama or something weird like that?
They were going for, like, a dark, grizzled, like, the Linkin Park edge of... It didn't look like what I wanted from a Dragon Quest game.
Yeah, nasty. Make that a dodgy side spin-off.
So, yeah,
not a main entry.
Just scrap half of that Beyond Good and Evil 2 stuff and just make the next Beyond Good and Evil game as if it was, like, a sequel to the game that came out in 2003 with some nice shiny...
Because that game is really good still. The anniversary release of that was great.
I'm clearly wish casting way more than predicting.
Yeah, we are. Okay, let's go to Jeffy. Old Jeffy boy. What are we going to see over at Summer Games Fest?
Here is, you know, I did say up front that we all have to have a weird, like a wild prediction of some sort. Yep. Mine is going to be that he falls onto his face in the front of the crowd because he didn't tie up the shoelaces on those stupid-ass sneakers that he's always wearing.
on his dodgy cons.
He's definitely going to say this is the most exciting, unexpected thing you've ever seen in your life, and then like show a pay to win almost
the most mid trailer you've seen in your life.
Yeah,
like
first person shooter that had somebody who once worked on Titanfall in it who probably wants to work somewhere else.
Yep.
From one of the developers of this game.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a classic tactic.
This is probably where we'll see like a big showing of God of War gameplay if they're going to do it. I think Sony will like do a little trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff usually has at least one big reveal up his sleeve every show, but I guess it's who's it going to be? Who's handed Jeff the golden envelope open up and
I've got a couple of things cooking that we know about. They've got the Marvel Rise of Hydra game, the Black Panther Captain America one. And they've also got the
I forget about that.
XCOM Star Wars XCOM game.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's made by a whole bunch of XCOM devs. So, you know, I'm in. But yeah, they're the ones that we know about from EA. Like, it feels like EA's got a couple of things maybe to announce, possibly. Apart from FIFA.
Full new Mass Effect, maybe?
That's wish casting. There we go.
I'm not a big enough Mass Effect fan, but I think a lot of people would be very, very happy if they saw that.
Not as happy as they would be if Jade Empire 2 got announced.
No, that's just me. That's me. It's,
that is literally a there's just one person.
I'll be the woo guy at that presentation.
Yeah. So remember the Ridge Racer, and the one went, woo! That is Matt
for Jade Empire.
It's that quiet, they literally hear him halfway across the world. Like, oh, he's there.
I'm not the only one, goddammit. There's lots of people that like Jade Empire.
There are dozens of us. Yep. Dozens.
Fuckers. what about are we going to see anything? I think this year is so stagnated by fucking Grand Theft Auto, to be honest. Like,
it's just why, but it makes sense. It's like everyone is sort of looking at it like, look, unless we are already really on track to be done by like August or September, let's just hold off.
Yeah.
I think we may see a lot more logo trailers this year.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or like just pre-rendered CGI coming 2027, nothing more specific than that.
Yep.
And I have to imagine the grand scheme of things, some of these things would also be looking at, well, how late can we push it into this gen and then can we straddle into next gen and maybe pull that sort of thing?
Well, like maybe somebody at Sony knows, but like next gen feels so nebulous at the moment.
Yeah.
Because it's like it is this weird issue, because I mean RAM and storage is just so stupidly expensive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, so much money has been dumped into R&D on these consoles. It's like, is it going to be what, like, there's an argument they may just push forward anyway.
Because yeah, and
they,
I think that's...
they have to take a bath one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either, no matter what they do, it's always painful shedding that 100 million plus user base.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to do it with the PS4, and they're going to have to do it with the PS5.
It took and a long time.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's, you know, are they just thinking, well, it took forever to do it anyway, that we'll get the early adopters and the people who are going to hang on are going to hang on, and we'll just do the same thing. We have a bunch of games sitting in between those two generations. And
there will be enough enthusiastic people. We saw it happen with the Steam Deck. Shit went up $300 American. Still sold out in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, if people want it, they'll buy it.
Yeah, they'll find a way.
If certain people want it, they'll buy it, but yeah, not the critical mass that you need to make it a worthwhile platform for people to exclusively develop software for.
Yeah. I think if Xbox can get their kind of rumored approach of making it, you know, essentially a well, easy-to-use PC under that will save them money, because... So if they can nail that, it'll all come down to software, which, you know, fucking Windows. but if they can get that right, then, you know, the idea of a box under your telly that works like a console but gives you Steam, Epic, along with Microsoft, it's highly appealing. So
you made me realize, do you think you're going to see a Steam controller like on the next Xbox?
I don't think so. I don't.
You don't think we're going to get trackpads on it?
No, I don't think so. I think the next Xbox will support keyboard and mouse. And if a game requires it, that'll be what they use, you know. It may even support the Steam controller. You know.
Does that, like, literally only work in Steam, though?
Yeah.
Not something that I knew immediately. Like, that is batshit to me that it just doesn't, like... A fucking PlayStation controller works on a computer. Like, being called a Steam controller is not a good enough reason to be that. The fact that it's more locked in than the Switch controller, which would also just blow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an odd call.
All right. Changing the controller fundamentally changes the identity of the brand as well. And I can't imagine them wanting to shed that at all. Because for the longest time, everyone, like, Xbox, its controller is iconic, and it's one of the highlights of playing on that platform, to be honest.
And it's also the default shape for PC controllers. Again, something that I know way more about than I should at this very specific point in time.
It is. We have a couple other bunch of shows, you know, there's PC Game Show, there's, you know, a few others. Do we expect anything bigger of those? They tend to be more interesting indie side notes and you know, that double A sort
see
of space.
Some obscenely expensive next gen PC handhelds.
There will be there. They'll be there. You know that buddy MSI or Lenovo will have a new one that's
going to be like $3,500 for like the entry model.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah. It's not
awesome for you, I guess, if you have that kind of money to burn.
Some asking themselves if they could. They should have asked themselves if they should.
Yeah.
Well, again, a lot of these probably started development before RAM became completely obscenely priced. And then, we'll put them out there and just make a few less of them and see who's willing to pay.
Yeah.
Sunk cost fallacy, right? We're that far in, we can't double back. The indie space, the double A stuff, I think double A probably needs to be where some of these companies go with these extended dev cycles. It's just getting ridiculous. Yep.
I think you're going to
play at this point is pretty AAA-esque in vibe a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like the differences are getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
So apparently,
I think
Dead Island 3 has a good chance of showing up, because the very intelligent people that finally fixed that game and got it out there went, hey, let's just keep the roll on. And, you know, that was a really fun little zombie game. Like, it was a 15-hour blast. So I'm happy to see them take lessons learned and roll out a new one. So that'd be the sort of thing I'd expect at like a PC game show or something like that.
Do you think some of the tone may have actually been set? Because we were speaking off show. Did we mention, I forgot if when we were talking in to camera and when we're talking to ourselves. But this whole Witcher 3 DLC thing, yep, is that we may actually see a lot of DLC announced.
We could do, yeah.
Actually, I think Capcom may be one of the companies that may have enough balls to going pretty hard. We would see like a big Pragmata expansion or something.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'd be down for that. But also Capcom will have probably some new fighters for Street Fighter and, you know, maybe some extra bits for Resident Evil or something like that.
Maybe a new maybe a new Switch 2 exclusive Monster Hunter.
Possibly, or even just an expansion for current Monster Hunter.
Or what? That's underperformed a
little
bit.
It did, because it was it wasn't a really good PC port, and then, yeah, didn't quite hit the same way that World did.
No, I did see a lot of complaints that it didn't have enough longevity for the hardcore players.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of secondhand copies for like $10, which is kind of my read on where that install base is at.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, finished it too quickly. Where's all my hardcore stuff?
Yep. Which was what the series was known for, I guess. All right. If we got any let's go with a wild ending. Pick our one thing that we want to see. And Tim already said Jade Empire 2. So
I really do want to see him like faceplant. Yeah. That would entertain me greatly.
So give us a wild hope. A wild hope, Stephen.
Look, I could give you a couple. I think Naughty Dog need to bring Uncharted back. I think that's something that's very much missing and something that would work. I want Level 5 to do almost anything at this point. Dark Cloud 3, please, but just something like, hell, get Yo-Kai Watch back into the, you know, Western part of the world. Anything. Just something Level 5. Let me know you're still alive. those are probably the two that I'm sort of really feeling lacking. Like, I'm missing Uncharted more than I ever thought I would.
Yep.
And I would like Level 5 to be doing some more stuff.
Mm-hmm. Tim, you got a wish.
I'm not Uncharted. I would like to see Tim Schafer and Ron Gilbert walk out on the stage together and just announce a cool new adventure game.
That'd be fun.
That is a very long shot.
Grim Fandango 2.
Not really the sort of game you get a sequel to. But
Afterlife?
Yeah.
After you've been sprouted. Like Dante's Inferno version. Like, actually, we're going through levels of hell here.
Yeah.
Hey, that could work. The comment of, like, more Uncharted, I don't know if I specifically need more Uncharted, but I remember, like, the last Uncharted game starring Chloe.
Yeah.
It was still Lost really Legacy. Fucking good, and they got that out pretty quickly. I would like to see Naughty Dog or any developer scale look at doing more shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, 12-hour adventures are fine by me these days. Like, I don't need something that's 30-plus hours. And I think that's where Last of Us Part 2 killed Naughty Dog, is that game is freaking long.
Yeah, it's huge. It's 26 hours, 28 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all polished to, like, this weird-ass sheen.
Yep.
But, like, the main thing of, like, note there isn't, I mean, this was in a snarky way it came out, but, like, Uncharted 4 still looks really good. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot of side-by-sides with Bond.
Yep.
A part of that is just, like, budget and time and shit, but I mean, Uncharted 4 took a while to make, but it didn't take as long to make as shit is taking now. No. Like, if you go for that level of fidelity and just using modern renderers on top of it, like, you're gonna get something that looks as good, probably a little bit better, but still look fantastic on a 4K screen.
Yeah,
I want to see more shit like that.
That's fair. I guess my big wish, and it may be a bit early, but we see more of Casey Hudson's new Knights of the Old Republic game. Or it's not Knights of the Old Republic. What did he call it? I can't remember. But yes, the announced Knights of the Old Republic game that he's doing. Not the remake, because I have no hope in that turning out any good at all.
Proof of life.
Yeah, I want to see what Casey Hudson's doing, because that man has made some of my favorite games of all time. And I'm really excited to see him back in that world. So I think it might be a bit early, though. Hopefully.
I'd like to see Insomniac announce something that is not a comic book crossover, actually.
New Ratchet?
New Resistance or new Ratchet.
Yeah.
Ratchet.
Or new something else entirely.
Yeah.
New IP? No, Tim. That's weird and scary.
I'm going to go buy Pragmata now.
Going to buy Pragmata, yep. On that note, we might wind up. Stephen, what have you got on the website and the World Wide Web in general?
So my last piece is obviously the Mino the Holo review. Go and check that out. I've got a 8-bit Dota 64 Bluetooth controller review in the works as well. Always more board game stuff. Some exciting Magic the Gathering news. Obviously, this will have been announced by the time this goes up, but there is a event happening at Marvel Stadium later this month that you can or could get tickets to if they aren't already sold out by the time you hear this. News will be going up on Player 2 for that as well. And yeah, that's probably about it for me until I get tapped on the shoulder for something else exciting.
Mm. Tim. Oh, yeah. Blue Sky and all that shit. Stephen.
Oh, Gorath 44,000 on, yeah, you know, all the major platforms.
Yes. Tim, what about yourself?
I'm going to be checking my schedule just to make sure I can get this friggin' show edited enough in time. At the moment, that and like realizing, you know, wrong game, and realize that like got another free, because every quarter of the year, I think Amazon tries to get me back into Prime and they'll send me a free month. And then I'm very good at canceling those. I'm excellent at canceling those. But I just realized it means I can watch the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
So
nice.
Good luck getting. Yeah. I'm going to be watching a 7'5" freak
dunk off the
probably
backboard.
Break the heart of New York City if I have to make it make sort of any sort of prediction.
Yep. Yeah. All right. And me, you'll find a whole bunch of stuff. I'll have a 007 feature of some kind up soonish. I also am working on a laptop review for a Lenovo 3D laptop. It's got a 3D display built into it.
Mm.
This is a thing that you saw like a year ago. Yeah, it's really sexy.
Is it like a 3DS? Oh, nice. Like,
yeah, it syncs into the screen, the 3D effect. And, you know, it only supports certain games that have obviously been added. I don't know what they do to it, but yes, it is very cool, and it's you know, the kind of thing that you get to review when you do this, and no one will ever buy, but it's super fun to review something like this anyway.
So, well, you should buy it if you have an absurd amount of money.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So keep an eye out for that.
Depressing to box back up and send
back. Yes, yeah. And you can catch me at Huso on the Blue Skies. Thank you for joining us for this, the 186th episode of the Player 2 Pixelcast. Have fun over the next few days. The one thing I like about this time of year is you get to set aside your cynicism for a week and just revel in some, hey, video games are cool. And that doesn't happen enough anymore, I don't think. No, so.
And then about a week after that, like, you start seeing all the cynical shit that happens during the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just ignore that.
There'll be something.
Just live in the moment. Enjoy. Get excited about new games. But because we don't do it often.